A Soldier's Story, 42 Years Later. It was the summer of 1966. I had never been away from home except my time in college, which was not much distance from home. On August the 22nd, 1966, I was drafted into the United States Army. I was young, sad, and scared, but I was ready to go. My father had served during World War II, my grandfather on my mother's side during World War I. I had many great or great-great uncles and one great-great-grandpa who had either fought in the Revolutionary or the Civil War. I went through very rigorous training in basic training and advanced infantry training. 250 young men assembled together for 6 months, training through the sweltering heat, crawling through mud and water where there was not a dry thread left. Then, at almost the end of this training, it had been extremely cold. We lay in foxholes all night, and I thought my hands and feet would fall off because they were so cold. At the end of this training, we were a fine-tuned machine. We were all in one accord. We were trained to kill, to fight in combat hand-to-hand, trained to live off the land. We were the property of Uncle Sam, and we were prepared to give our lives for our country. All these men were my buddies. We felt an obligation to each other, and we felt an obligation to our country. I reflect on those times and the strange thing that was 75% of those GIs were not there by choice, but because we were drafted. Yet there were no complaints, no objections, only loyalty to country. Christmas came and our training was complete. I came home for Christmas on leave to be with my family. It was a short holiday season because we all knew what was coming. On February the 22nd, 1967, I boarded a plane in Knoxville headed to Oakland, California. I left my mother in tears, my father sad but proud, and my fiancé not knowing what lay ahead. All this because they knew my assignment, Vietnam. All this because they knew my MOS, that stands for Military Occupational Specialty, was 11C, the 11 signifying infantry, C signifying mortars. The infantry is the foot soldier. I knew, and my family knew, that I would see some kind of action. All this because I felt an obligation to my country, my family, my friends, and to myself. All those times I had been in places I shouldn't have been with friends, and maybe they started a fight. I never ran. I endured until the end. I didn't leave them to face the fight alone. I guess that's the way I felt about my country. If my country is in the fight, then I am too. The next day I left Oakland, California, along with 450 more soldiers on a 12,000-mile trip. I landed in Saigon, Vietnam, a couple of days later. It was 105 degrees that day. We remained in Saigon long enough to be processed into whatever unit we were assigned to. In 5 days, I was with my unit in the jungle, a place called Dong Bat Tin. This was to be my base camp for now. We operated each day from that location, flying each day into the jungle areas to secure or protect those areas. The jungle was hot and humid with mosquitoes that were as big as horseflies, cobras that were as much as 12 feet long, and oh yeah, Charlie, the Viet Cong. I watched my front and my buddies watched my back. I did the same for my buddies. The jungle was so thick at times that you could not see 10 feet in front of you, so I was always glad to see the planes come in to spray with a defoliant we called Agent Orange. This killed the vegetation within about 12 hours. Little did I know what this would do to me and my comrades in later years. We walked in rice paddies where water was waist deep, booby-trapped with landmines, where we witnessed our own soldiers losing their legs and arms or their lives. We struggled through this without being afforded the luxury to cry, without being afforded the luxury to mourn. We saw our own shot in the head, the stomach, the arms or legs, and we were always praying to God, "If it happens to me, let it be fatal." Oh, the screams and the cries of those who laid there wounded with their limbs shot off or their insides hanging out. It still haunts me today, waking up in the middle of the night, sweating and gasping for breath. For many years, I couldn't talk about it. I couldn't think about it. I knew my mind wouldn't stand it. Seeing those bodies that we killed with hundreds of bullet holes, some even lying in 100-degree sun for days before we finally got to them, smelling rotten flesh and pouring diesel fuel on the remains, the burning and the smoke still registers in my mind and nose today. Seeing that soldier fall beside me with a bullet hole in his head, no time to mourn, but with the thought that that dear boy had a mama somewhere, that he had a family that was going to mourn over his loss. Would I be next? I must fight on. Nighttime was no rest. I slept with one eye open, rising up at any time during the night to machine gun fire, equipping ourselves as we moved toward our positions, hearing those cries in the dark, seeing men's hands burn to the bone as they changed barrels on their machine guns. Oh, Lord, am I next? We pray for this day to be over. At nighttime, when we got to return to our base camp, we reflect on our families back home, and we think about those families of our buddies that we have lost. We read our letters from home and think about those times when we can return. If it had not been for those letters from my mother and my father and my future wife, I don't know if I could have had the desire to go on. After about 6 months, I was moved to a base camp on Vung Chu Mountain, the middle of a jungle mountain. Again, with the aid of Agent Orange, our job was made a little easier, but oh, what we didn't realize. My everyday thought was, how much more of this can I handle? I only had about 40 days left on my tour in Vietnam when the Tet Offensive of 1968 started. My unit was being moved different places almost every day because of the insurgency of the Viet Cong. Finally, we were moved to a mountainous region called Doc Tho. This is when everything came home to me. This is when one of the worst things that I could imagine would happen. My best friend, who I went through basic training with and AIT training with and who I went through Vietnam with, was killed in front of me. We were both sergeants, and one morning I would take the lead, and the next morning he would take the lead. We were both commanders at that time of armored personnel carriers that we travel in to take our squads to the area where we were going that day. This was my morning to lead, but as we made ready to pull out, he pulled out in front of me. I hollered on my radio and told him that it was my time to lead. Waving at me, he came back across the radio and said, "I love you, brother. I'm going to lead today." As that anti-tank round hit his APC with 9 men inside, it burst into flames. We completely destroyed the 2 Vietnamese huts from which the rounds were fired. Then we stopped. I crawled out of my machine and fell on my face with tears coming from my eyes. "No, no, it can't be. No, no, we had only 27 more days to go. No, no, he had a mother back home that loved him. No, no, he had a wife back home and a daughter that was only a little over a year old, and he is their life." By this time, my platoon leader was there, and he said, "Soldier, you're not afforded the luxury to cry. You're not afforded the luxury to mourn. Move on." I moved on with that picture ever burned in my mind. I couldn't help but think about him being some mother's son, some wife's husband, some daughter's father. My thoughts now turned to home, my mother and father, and my future wife. I never had been religious, but at this time I had to look somewhere. I no longer had control. I thought we were invincible. I said, "Lord, I've seen all these things happen, this human destruction, this burden that I have laying on my breast. I've gone 1 year without seeing my family, without having the things I normally have at home, milk, Coca-Cola, steaks, and hamburgers. I've been dehydrated, had chronic dysentery, had blood on my hands that was not mine, but I know that it was for a worthy cause. I know when I get home, I'll be welcomed with a hero's welcome." Time came for me to depart Vietnam. I left with a heavy heart, but anxious to get home. I know they were going to welcome us with a hero's welcome. I know the band is going to be playing when Johnny comes marching home. We landed in San Francisco, California. There were no bands playing, no singing, no cheering, but we did have a welcoming committee. Long-haired hippies holding peace signs decorated with all kinds of trinkets threw rocks at us and called us baby killers. At our first step on American soil, we were pelted with rocks and called every name imaginable. Had we returned to the right country? What had happened? Why were men and women burning our American flag? Why were young men fleeing to places like Canada? What had happened to our country? I returned to my little hometown. My family was happy to see me. My friends asked where I'd been. I told them, and their reply was, "Oh." I went 35 years of my life without being able to tell my story. But the Lord, through His divine intervention and infinite mercy, has allowed me to do that. The thing that concerns me the most about this whole story is what is unfolding in front of our very eyes right now. Those very radicals who threw rocks at us, spit on us, burned our flag, and fled to other countries as cowards are the very ones who have been elected to run our country. I have a fear for the freedom of this country because I see those very faces, those very thoughts, ideas, and liberalisms controlling our country today. May the Lord help us. because if he doesn't, we are doomed as a country because this country has sold its soul to Satan.